SCP-4211 Memoirmento. Much has been said throughout human history on the topic of remembering the dead. Some say that you only truly die when you're forgotten, and while that's a poetic sentiment, humans have perpetually struggled with the concept of our own mortality. Whether or not a dead individual is influenced in any way by whether or not they're remembered by the living is generally immaterial, compared to how such thoughts influence the one doing the remembering. SCP-4211 is, obviously, about memories, and an anomaly that can use them to influence the present. Let's take a look. SCP-4211 is the collective designation for specific diary entries with cognitohazardous properties, preventing the reading of the item's true content unless certain conditions are met. More specifically, the items encrypt their content via obfuscation, altering the text if the reader does not have access to the cipher key. The cipher key is morphogenetic resonance to an image and question prompt, presumably set by the author. In this way, only individuals with strong empathetic responses or similar brain function to the author may read the unaltered content of the diary entries. Attempts to transcribe, discuss, or copy the entry's contents result in the same outcome, with individuals that have sufficient mental alignment to the author being allowed to view the content and understand it, while those that do not will experience false versions. Exposure to the entries, encrypted or not, may result in the temporary symptoms of confusion, amnesia, headaches, heightened levels of visual snow, false memories, sleep paralysis, the inability to recognize faces, and hallucinations. The diary containing the entries was found in the possession of Augustus Ehrlich Sr., a now deceased person of interest who had several SCPs in his possession. Due to the self-concealing nature of the anomaly, research into the content of the notebook has been limited, but handwriting analysis shows that the entries have had multiple authors, and meta-analysis shows recurring mentions of family members drowning, even if the individuals have no such history. We're then, of course, given access to the transcripts of the entries, but first we have to go through the mental alignment tests. We're first given a sepia-toned photo of a tree standing in a field, and asked which stands out to us the most, the tree, the field, or the sky. I'll spoil it to tell you that clicking any of the three gives us a green checkmark and tells us that our mental alignment is sufficient. The three entries that it provides us with, depending on our choice, are almost identical, except for the final line. It reads, "Dear Diary, I guess." No, that doesn't feel right. I'm gonna have to get used to using this. I'm not really sure what Grandpa was thinking, giving me this musty old diary. To keep her memory alive? What's that supposed to mean? It didn't help that there was that weird photo with Grandma on the front, even if it didn't look quite right. "Do you remember what she did?" was written underneath. "You never really got over her, did you, Granddad? I know you were getting old, and you didn't have long left, but I guess I'm just not over it. Looking through your diary, Grandpa, I don't really know what to say. I don't know what that dementia did to you, but I can feel what you were trying to get across in these notes. I've been having some restless nights lately. I wake up in the middle of the night aching and covered in sweat. I think I've been thrashing around violently in my nightmares. The doctor has prescribed me some tobacco leaves to help me with the stress, but my night terrors keep coming. Sometimes, when I wake, the nightmare hasn't let me go. I'm present, but my body stays limp, almost as if it isn't mine. A figure in the corner of my room reveals itself and whispers to me just out of sight. I sit like that for hours sometimes, surrounded by this presence. she watches over me. These nightly encounters are leaving me weak and broken. I only want to sleep, but my mind won't let me. Common sense says that I'm just overstressed, but some part of me feels like it's something more. Maybe it's the speed of city life that's finally getting to me. They say there's a bit of a speed bump once your 20s are over, doubly so now that I only have myself to look after. I've lived here all my life, same as my parents. I think I'll take a country retreat until I'm back on my feet. The final line, then, depending on what we chose, is either, I hope Dad's old swing set's still in the family oak tree. Or, I hope Dad's field is still as beautiful as it always was. Or, I hope the country night sky is still as full of stars as it was. The second alignment test shows a large rural farmhouse, with the question asking, where is this? The responses are home, hell, or hope. These entries vary quite a bit more, so in my perpetual effort to pad out my videos, I'll be reading them all verbatim. Answering home reads, there's something nostalgic about returning back to my roots. The fresh country air and salty ocean breeze. It's peaceful. It gives me a little energy to keep going despite everything. I feel a little more complete. I think my breathing's got a little easier since I got here. I'm pretty sure my shoulders are more relaxed too. There's security here that just isn't found in the noise of the city. A calm I desperately needed after so long. I might just come back here more often. Nobody else is here right now. I guess they're probably on holiday. What kind of a son am I to not even know where my parents are? I'm definitely going to have to apologize for that. It's strange. Even though I'm alone, I don't feel lonely. It's probably because I know they're not too far away. I really hope I see them while I'm here, though. I've not seen them since... can't remember right now. I'll finish it up in the morning. A couple years, I think. The nights are cold, but I've lit a fire with some of Dad's leftover coal. I'll be sure to replace it tomorrow, Dad. I'm finally home. Answering hell, on the other hand, reads, I made a trip back to Dad's. The time I spent here sticks with me, and I'm certain the nightmares come from this place. By spending the night here, maybe the scared child within me will settle down. The place is a lot smaller than I remember. I guess it's because I've grown since I was here, but it's still really surprising. This place was like a fortress when I was a kid. He still hasn't patched up the hole he made when Mom said she'd be leaving with me. Won't you take responsibility for anything? When you mess up shit, you should fucking fix it. The wood's rotten with termites because you couldn't even take care of your own house. What kind of scum ruins their kids' inheritance because they're angry at themselves? Dad's not here now. Probably fell asleep in a bar. Or maybe he took a leap of faith into the sea. Doesn't matter. I'm just here to get my house. Or to confront him if he gets back. I don't know which I want more. I've not seen him for at least a decade. Last time I saw him must have been... can't remember right now. I'll add it in tomorrow. The night's so cold. Maybe I shouldn't have come back to a place with such thin walls. I've lit a fire with Dad's leftover coal. Lastly, answering hope reads, I've not seen my family home in years. There's a bit of a termite problem. Everything's full of holes, but the house still stands firm. I think there's something kind of amazing about that. I've lit a fire with matches I found in the house. The label says they were made 20 years ago. I don't know why, but I started to cry in front of the fire. It wasn't sad, though. It was just that kind of day where I needed a reminder like that. Dad always said, no matter how dark it gets, I'll always be me. I've still got that fire in me, even if it's dark. I miss him. I haven't seen him in 5, 10 years? Can't remember right now. We'll fill in later. I hope they come home to see their kid back and full of life. God knows that when I left, I wasn't in the best place. The night is cold, but the fire will keep me warm. The third test shows a very sparse interior of a home, with an open window, a bare table, and dilapidated chairs, alongside a crude fireplace. The question asks, "How do you feel?" with three responses again. Answering alone reads, "I couldn't sleep. Fuck, I wish I could, but that shadow that I feel in my nightmares, it's closer, somehow. Maybe it's because it's getting dark. Maybe because nobody's home. I'm just staying in front of the fire in the living room until someone gets here. I don't think I'll be able to sleep until someone does, at any rate. I think I'll just sit here. Those tobacco leaves, the doctor... he screamed at me to get out of his house. When I said I was his son, he just went berserk. I don't get it. Is this just some cruel joke? He just disowns me before I can even tell him what I needed to get off my fucking chest? He just waves a gun in my face and kicks me out of my own house. I'm driving back home. Asshole threw me straight into a pile of mud. It's gonna take me about an hour to get back and shower, so I'll probably finish ranting when I'm done. Holy shit. Something's wrong. I need a doctor. I just went to the bathroom, and that's not my face. These aren't my hands. But I remember the scar on my little finger. I got that one from a can opener. And the one on the back of my hand, that one was from the neighbor's dog. They had to put it down. The one on my forehead, when I got into that car accident. My parents lived in the city their whole life. Whose house was that? That person wasn't Dad. He wasn't old enough to be. But that was definitely my parents' house. Was it? It was David, my uncle. Grandma left him the house in her will after she died. Why did I think it was my house? I've never been here before. Answering scared is largely the same, just with more swearing. Answering confused cuts out the first part and goes straight to the author stating that something is wrong. They write that they're shaking, and if the owner gets back soon, what are they going to say? He just needed to get his feelings out, but wonders if they're his feelings. He has a headache. He can't think straight. The shadow's closer. He's in his car, and that man just knocked on his window and asked what he was doing outside his house. He couldn't tell him that he lit his fire. The fourth test shows an image of an ominous-looking oyster reef with a large crustacean resting on top. The question asks if you can trust your memory. Answering any of the three, yes, no, or I am unsure, results in a largely identical text. Answering yes reads, "Do you remember getting lost in the mall? The frantic, desperate search for a single hand in a sea of adults. The world spans as I struggled between all the adults who didn't even look my way. Do you remember the car crash? That's where I got the scar on my forehead. I cracked my skull and they had to seal it with some kind of glue. I remember how the world slowed down and the force of my seatbelt crushing into my chest. I remember the searing pain spread across my face as my skull fractured. Do you remember our joyride? I remember breaking in and driving around town for hours before I ran out of gas. Me and my friends had never been happier. No cares in the world. Mom said I never got lost in a mall. She was very proud of that fact. I was 3 when I was in the car crash. My friends don't remember any joyriding. None of us even know how to break into a car. But I remember them. My memories are who I am. They're all I am. I trust my memories. I have to trust them. If I can't trust myself, what else is there? I don't remember anything in this diary. I didn't write any of it. None of this happened to me. Then why does it feel so familiar? Was she a figment of my imagination too? I need to see her. I need to know. Answering no just changes the lines after none of us even know how to break into a car, reading, but I remember them. Just because they never happened, does that make it less real? They're all I have. I have to trust them. If I can't trust myself, what do I have left? Answering, I am unsure, changes it to be, have they all forgotten? Or is it me who I can't trust? But my memories are all I have. I have to trust them. If I lose my memories, then who would I be? You might already get a sense for the nature of this article by this point, but if you need some help getting there, we're given a fake footer at the bottom of this section, stating that the page was last edited on October 10th, 1976, at the lake. It asks, "Don't you remember?" Scrolling down, there's one more mental alignment test. This shows an old photograph of a young woman with her eyes crossed out. It asks, do you remember what she did? The responses are all checked, of course, I owe her, and everything. It states, she's calling for you, even now. The transcript then reads, the shadow led me here, back to where my life ended, back to where my life was saved. I finally realized who the shadow was, leading me back. It was you, wasn't it, Katie? I remember you, Katie. Nobody else does. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Like a swan on the lake. You watched me from the shadows, didn't you? Do you miss me? Do you hate me? Are you calling me or haunting me, Katie? It doesn't matter. I know what you want. You want me to go back. You want me to go back in there with you. Yes, I hear you, Katie. I hear you. Thank you for waiting. I hear you. I hear you. I will wade waist deep through the mud. I will swim into the ice-cold waters. I will be pulled under again. But you won't pull me out this time. You won't die for me this time. And the nightmares will end. And I get to be with you again. Of course I'm not mad. Of course I remember you. I missed you. I still love you. It doesn't matter if I'm not who I was, or if you aren't either. I came back. The final line links to SCP-2316, an anomalous phenomenon existing within a lake, manifesting as a group of human corpses floating on the surface. All right. So obviously this one is heavily connected to the Class of 76 canon and SCP-2316, and I recommend watching my video on the Class of 76 if you're unfamiliar. It's a canon that has a lot to do with nostalgia, memories, and being forgotten. And it seems that at one point, the grandpa in this story, the original owner of the diary, had gone into the lake, but was pulled out and saved by his wife, Katie. She, on the other hand, was stuck there, and largely forgotten about. Not in the sense that everyone forgot she completely existed, which would raise some odd questions about parentage, but that nobody could remember many details about her. It's unclear how much her husband remembered about her, as the grandson states that he had dementia, but there was a photograph of her on the front of the diary alongside the question, "Do you remember what she did?" Somehow, Katie appeared to the grandson in the form of a shadow in the corner of his vision. She drew him closer to the lake, and reading and writing in the diary caused his own memories to combine with those of his grandfather's until he couldn't distinguish the two. Katie wanted to draw him back to the lake, not to save her, but to join her. I suppose you could say that Katie never truly died because someone remembered her. Or you could say that she didn't die because she was caught in a watery void of existential dread. Remembering the dead is all well and good, as long as it helps, but there of course comes a time eventually when it's best to just move on.